Is it recording?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm blessed.
Oh, yeah, we'll just cut it out.
Bum, because, hey, this will get out somewhere.
You know what? You know, you're like, yeah, you're like, woo, jokes, innit? Just fucking with you. I was just fucking with you, right? Oh, listen, we got bear jokes, innit? I know you're listening, babes. I love you. I love you.
I bet. You're now listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with Marvin Abbey, Mr. Exposed, and Taser fucking Black.
Yeah, and they don't make R&B like they used to either.
No, they don't, bro.
Yeah, because the culture, society's not like that.
But it is like that, though. It's the same people here.
Yeah, it is.
Because remember, R&B before was about, like, all the things your man won't do. Even the funny thing is, Joe, allow me, man. The thing is about Joe was talking about stealing your woman.
Yeah.
But he was doing it in such a nice way. It wasn't disrespectful. It was like all the things your man won't do. Like, what's kind
of disrespectful?
Now I was like, I'm gonna take your.
Remember Joe saying, I'll take your woman.
And send her back. And call you after, like, God.
But that's what I'm saying.
Savage life, bro.
That's society.
No, it's not, though.
It's the same savagery, but, like, they just did it smooth.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's the same savagery.
Back there. It was eloquence. Like, and the funny thing is, man has said, I want to take your girl and look after her. I don't want to give her back to you.
Yeah.
Man now saying, I'll fuck your girl and drop her back.
Exactly.
I don't want that bitch. It's R&B. Like, how am I supposed to vibe?
Like, back in the day, man will take your girl out and literally spend money on her, look after her, send her back.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh my God, I had such a great experience with him over there.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I get on your knees, man.
Yeah. Oh. And call him.
Call him while I'm here.
Right.
Yeah, no, R&B is mad now. Remember, R&B, I can't make love to R&B now. I can't be making love and listen to that.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
It's disrespectful.
Do you feel like because now rappers are singing, you think that changed R&B?
Do you know what? I think it blurred the lines that now, it's weird. It's like, a long time ago, women wanted these guys that looked, in inverted commas, sweet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas as times change now, women kind of want these thugs that sing. It's kind of changed. So the R&B, the look of the R&B singer has kind of changed now.
Mm-hmm,
like tattoos on the neck, dreads, or like a particular look now. It's like, we want bad boys that can sing.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was just rappers were the bad boys.
Yeah.
Singers were the sweet boys.
You made
a song, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's just like, it's blurred. You don't know who's who.
You don't know. And the thing is, you don't know where it's going to go. Like, what can we do? What are the next generation going to make? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's honestly crazy.
It was so mad because I remember I called you the other day. I was watching, have you seen The Crew League?
Yeah.
The Crew League is so, because I don't know whether they're acting or not.
No.
They're generally being themselves.
Yeah, cool.
So that's even better then. So because it allows them to show their personality amongst each other, you can see who's the bad boy
and
who's someone who's, I guess, just got money.
But
he rolls with everyone because he's got money. Yeah. And you can see he's actually cool.
Yeah.
You can actually see it on the court. And then obviously with the scenes when they sit them down outside. And there was a scene where I think 21 Savage, it went viral the other day.
About the fight, right?
But 21 Savage was joking around.
Homeboy was
a basketball player, by the way.
Are you trying to get gangster? The way you said it. You know
you would have had that conversation with, like, listen, it's going to be calm, like, leave all the gangsters at home, just come and play basketball. So when the basketball player is trying to step into that world, he's like, wait, hold on,
am
I going to have to that was interesting to see. But it's because they got, like, Quavo's in it, little baby
Chris Brown. Chris Brown's
won,
yeah, he's smoky,
two seasons in a row.
Damn.
So that's why he's not in the fourth season. It's like,
Can you play basketball like that?
Yeah, I used to play ball in high school. Yeah.
You said soccer. What was your position in soccer?
Forward. I was a forward.
Okay.
I was fast, but I couldn't. I was a great passer, but
I couldn't finish.
Bro. It's fucking horrible, bro. It was bad. Nah. They're like, run to me. It's like, fuck it. I'll get the ball. Nice assist.
You should have been a winger then.
I should have,
bro. And if you're fast, on the wing,
you
just cross it in. I don't know how your delivery would have been, though.
I don't know. It didn't make it too far, bro.
So you're better if you're
I'm bow legged and I got skinny legs. It was bad.
So, did you try NFL?
NFL?
American football?
Did I try it? No, hell no. But I played football in high school. But I wasn't good enough for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
A basketball position were you in basketball?
Oh, point guard.
Okay.
Yeah, point guard. I was team captain. Yeah, we were dope, man. It was fun. Like, you learn a lot about yourself playing sports. Like, because our team was terrible, but then when our grade came, we started being ranked in the state and going to state championships and tournaments. So it was dope.
That's one thing I love about America, that the emphasis that you put on, like, college sport,
yeah,
basketball, NFL, football. Like, you've got, like, college games and stadiums, yeah, with, like, 40,000, 30,000 people full.
Yeah,
like, bro, here you don't have that.
Why?
Because it's weird. It's like, the way the football is here, they don't actually nurture the talent here like that.
Really?
So in America, for example, because every college has got a sport, there's no way you can miss out on the best players, because you would hear about this guy from Jackson State or Florida, or this guy from Oakland, like, he's the next best thing. So you won't miss these players. Where in the UK, for example, people are not really invested in college or university football like that here. Or, so you could have a player that's sick, like a really good footballer, but...
So what happens to him? So if you're 15 here, what happens if, like, you go to a U18 Arsenal?
If you don't have a connect, like, because remember, for you to go to, like, Arsenal, Chelsea, whatever, a lot of the time they've got people... If your parents are not taking you, for example...
Right.
You're not really going to go. Because more times, it's like people's parents would be like, oh, I've took my kid to the Arsenal Academy. Then over years, you might be in the under-8s, under-9s, 10s. Then they start footing out who's good, who's not. Then you move around the system. Whereas if you haven't got a parent, for example, that can take you to football games, it's on your back what you do. So you're hoping a scout will see you and bring you over. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's very different here.
So there's a lot of talented people.
A lot of talent goes to waste.
So you've seen some people like, yo, he's better than anybody playing right now.
All the time.
There's a guy in Northwest right now called Magic. When he was younger, he was small, very small. And they were like, you're too small. But ask anyone in Northwest, I tell you, he's one of the best football players I've ever seen.
Wow. And but, just...
Yeah, just...
Just
said you're too small. And it's like, he's like Messi's, I guess. I don't know if he's Messi's height.
Wow.
He's of Messi's frame, but his technical ability...
Incredible.
Through the roof, but...
Because over here, we wanted, like, there was a thing about being tall and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So English football a long time ago was like, you have to be big, strong, whatever. Whereas Italian, Spanish, they were like, nah, if you're technical, technical always beats power and speed and whatever, because we'll just play the ball around you. You get tired.
And then
we'll just tiki-taka football and whatever. So I think now Britain have kind of incorporated it, that like power and strength is important. But if you've got technical ability, that's good as well. So they've kind of embrace both. So it's kind of changed the philosophy for you. But a long time ago, if you were too small, you just weren't making it. Like, you knew it.
Jesus.
Even for example, you know, like in big sporting events in America, we have like a halftime show.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have that here.
You don't have that at all.
What?
You don't have that here.
Well, I think we're more money hungry. I think that's what it is. I think we capitalize. I don't think it's about the kids. I think it's like, it's a product.
Yeah, yeah.
We can make money off of this product. High school, okay. Let's build the hype up, because we're going to make money off of him. That's why the basketball guy, the kid, Wembanyama, the Victor Wembanyama, the 7'5".
Yeah. The new guy. Madness.
Yo, the NBA is grooming him now because they're building the hype up, knowing that when he comes, we're going to make more money. So they're showing, exposing him now in France. So it's not about... It takes care of the kids. But it's the money. Like, even the where it goes wrong, I think here you guys can make money as professionals. Like, when the kids are like 17, 18, they're getting paid by the...
Yeah, you sign a pro contract when you're like 16, 17. Right. Yeah.
The kids will go to college, get a scholarship, but it changed now. But like before, for like 70 years, they're playing for free. And the college is making millions off of these kids. You know what I mean? So it's always... It was exploiting the situation, but...
Wait, the kids that are playing in college are playing for free?
The kids that are playing in college, until last year, 2 years now, they're playing for free.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
But I think they see it as, because they're giving you education. Because remember this, if you weren't under this scholarship, you'd have to pay to go to college.
But if you're really good, you're not going to spend the 4 years. They're not paying for your... It's a ploy to get them to go.
Okay.
But no, bro, like, you're bringing in millions of dollars. Like, you're bringing your school $100 million and you're...
Okay, enough.
My best friend, he went to the league when he graduated, but my best friend is the biggest player on our campus. ESPN showing him everything, like all every other week. And he's in this dorm and he's like, yo, bro, you got like any money for some food? So that's when I realized, yo, you're just a product. Like, they don't care about you.
Would Nike sponsor them or anything like that?
The school.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, it was the school. The school gets all of that. So in like 2 years ago, that's, I think it's NIL deals. Well, now kids are, now the top kids are now able to get like, oh, a deal with Nike or Ford or Porsche. And then now they're getting paid. But bro, like the whole time sports have been going on in college, the school was getting paid. Everything. Like jersey sales, the school. If it, it's so crazy. He's like, yo, he wore number 24. And he was like, yo, every kid on our college campus at one time had his jersey on. And it's like, they're getting that money.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, I can't even eat, bro. You know, so it was like, it was crazy.
And they expect him to perform, you know?
Yeah. But then you're like, I got to perform because I want to go to the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's like low-key slavery a little bit, you know? It's like, go work, you know? And if you're good enough, then you go to the next level. So it's crazy.
I didn't know that. That's yeah, interesting.
I didn't know that still.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it's better over here then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm joking. So let's talk about you and your missus. You've got like a wellness thing going on as well. So how did that start? Tell us about that.
So during the pandemic, man, we were like, damn, we need to make something that gives people hope, makes people feel good. And we were like, you know, let's control our content. We're posting all these pictures of us. Yeah. Like, let's get paid for this. Like, why is Instagram getting paid off our stuff? You know, we had that mindset. So we were like, you know, let's create something where people can see our life. People can get affirmations. People can get tips to cook. People can get anything. And then we're like, yo, we're about to have a kid. So if they follow us, and this is right before OnlyFans came out. So we had the idea before now, like you're paying a subscription for your personal whatever. So we're like, yo, like, let's just do it. Let's make our own thing and take away the power that Instagram, Facebook, Twitter has and just make something that makes people feel good. And so it's like a five, it's called For the Better. And people pay $5 a month just to get our exclusive, how we are. If we argue, if we this, how I am as a father, how she is as a mom, what I'm dealing with, like so, and then also just like really, really like positive content, spiritual, and tips to life. So it was dope, man. It was like, you know, let's be innovative. Let's figure out what we can do for our people, and our true fans can join in and go on our journey.
How is it on the daily though, in terms of finding the content for that? In terms of, because I know it must be hard, but it's how do you find the content to say, okay, cool.
No, at this point, it's her thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's the one that, you know, she'll be like, can you send me, if I'm away, she'll be like, can you send me how you feel right now about being in London and how your thing went last night?
Okay.
Yeah, so like, instead of putting it on Instagram, my story, like, this is what I feel, da-da-da-da, they'll get the real of what's going on. And so I gave that to her, I created that for her, she's, you know, but now she's, you know, running it and she does her own thing. So now she's pregnant, you know, so she's going through, motherhood and hormones and all these things. So and now we have a 1-year-old as well. So now she's showing that lifestyle. So she'll hit me and just be like, yo, can you send me this? Can you send me this? Can you send me this? So that's how we navigate. But she has like affirmations, you know, set for, you know, months at a time.
That means we're gonna get a little feature on that, Tiz. As a land of a free shot of tequila, like word is born,
yes,
sir. You know,
yes, sir.
That's the word is born.
Word is born.
I was like, you know, I really couldn't stand these niggas, man. You know, you know, and
imagine that, you know. You see, we're like, yo, what's going on? Like, he's just cussing us. Like, I thought we were cool. Yeah, I hate them like the niggas, man. Talk too much shit, man.
What's it like when you like winning? What's the different criteria for, you know, when you're selling music here?
Yeah,
and it's like gold, platinum.
Yeah,
what does that feel like?
Whew, it's a great question, bro. So in today, right? So a lot of people don't know this. So back in the day, if you sold 500,000 copies, so somebody paid $1. Yeah. If 500,000 people paid $1, that's a gold record. If 1 million people pay $1 for your single, that's a platinum record, right? In today's time, because of streaming, okay, so 150 streams equals one sale.
Okay.
150 streams.
Start to finish.
$1.
Equals $1.
That's mad.
150 streams equals $1. So to go gold in America, you have to have 75 million streams of your song.
That's mental, bro.
150 million streams is a platinum song. So when Love Rhythm or In My Bed went gold in the States, it was like, yo, 75 million people have played this record. Mm-hmm. Or how many people? But like, yeah. It's streamed 75 mm-hmm. million times. Yeah. So now, to be able to do that, it means back in the day, you weren't 75 million stream. Yeah, you get what I'm saying?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's Michael Jackson. Like, yeah. That's special. But now to get, not like, to get like, oh, he's dope, 75 million. So like that, to answer your question, like that's why I was like, all right, it's an incredible feeling, bro.
Who calculated that? Like, why 150? Why not 100?
Yeah, bro, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. That's how they make their money, bro. Because they... Who was it? Frostwire? What was it?
LimeWire.
Yeah, yeah. So that messed up the game. Mm. You know, that messed up the game. So they had to adapt. The labels had to adapt. So 150 streams, one sale, $1, bro. So for me to do it twice, like I have two of them, it's like, damn, like, okay, you can never take that away from me.
Yeah, for real.
But, that,
yeah.
But that's, so it makes kind of sense when, I'm not saying when people say that people get blackballed in the game, but it kind of makes sense then, because if you're on playlists, mm-hmm. that's going to help your shit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because remember, if you're on a playlist, because a lot of people that don't know about new music
yeah.
will just follow a playlist and look at that playlist for what's popping.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are on those playlists, you're going to get more streams.
You discover the song.
More yeah. discover. But then yeah. if I take you off every single playlist,
yeah. Yeah.
it's just purely
your fan base
hoping who finds you.
Yes. Then I guess the definition of blackball's changed then. Because blackball before would be like, for example, your affiliation with 50
yeah.
might... force other people not to mess with you.
Yeah.
So let's say someone who doesn't like 50
mm-hmm.
works for a label, works mm-hmm. for a radio station. Mm-hmm. They're like, nah, we're not
yeah.
none of his artists. So yeah. he can now say, I'm being blackballed by so yeah. and so because of my affiliation with 50.
Yeah.
Whereas now, by not adding you to a playlist, yeah. obviously, to some people, it's like, well, that's not a big deal. If your fans want to, I'm agreeing with you. I heard Ibra talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
Because the baby was saying
yeah, that. Yeah, baby saying that he got blacklisted.
He's blackball, yeah.
Because Lil Boosie was like, how'd you go from selling, is it 141K? Last
yeah, year yeah, yeah.
To 14 this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Something must be happening.
Yeah.
But then he's saying, well, I don't even know if the baby said it. I think people are saying it for
nah,
him.
No, nah, the baby said it, but then Ibra was saying, how can I blackball you, whatever. But then, the people are saying, but the baby's been taken off because I think he was at the head of Apple or something. Or
oh, one, yeah, he, yeah. I remember Hebrew's head of
Spotify.
Is it Marky and no, Apple?
Yeah. So he yeah. was. So I think the baby was saying he's been taken off a lot of playlists.
Yeah.
So the baby was saying he's been blackballed, and Ebro was saying, "Listen, if your fans want to find your music, they'll find it." But
now that's true. It's true.
It's true to an extent. But what you've just said is very true. Discovery. That, like, in yeah. terms of
discovering new artists,
and just in terms of what makes that. Like, from $1 is 150 plays.
Yes, yeah.
So technically speaking, if you put me on, like, for example, I know Spotify, like, big ones like Rap Caviar.
Yeah.
If you're on Rap Caviar,
yeah.
so many people might even just put it on shuffle.
Not even listen to
not
you.
Not even listening yeah. to you. So you're yeah. still getting plays
money. Yeah. Yeah.
without even knowing.
Yeah.
Adding to your catalogue.
Exactly.
Whereas, right, man, I'm agreeing with you.
No, I'm saying. Whereas now, like, I have to go on your page.
Yes.
And click.
And I might not do that because if I've just got loads of playlists and I'm trying to hear stuff new,
yeah.
I might not actually go directly to the artist anymore.
Yeah.
So he's being cheeky with his answer then, because his answer does stand, but
mm.
the environment in the building is we're not messing with the baby. No? So then why would now someone who's under you now say, you know what, I'm gonna add him to the playlist?
Mm.
Like, it doesn't make sense. I get why he said what he said.
Mm-hmm.
It's to save his own back. Because technically, I'm head of marketing. I ain't told anybody not to play you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what you're talking about. Your mm-hmm. fans can find you. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
yeah, yes.
it does help to be on the playlist, bro.
It helps. Amazing. Because there's new music all the time.
Mm.
So yeah. And people are lazy, bro. Like, I'm not going to, I got to go think about this person.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, what's new? Boom. Oh, I like this. I add it. I've added something that was presented to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So that's why it's super important. Yeah.
I know people are lazy, boy. Use the food delivery. I don't know what it's called. What's it called?
An Uber.
Like an Uber Eats.
Yeah.
But I can see the restaurant. I can see the restaurant from my house that I ordered from. The driver's yeah. got there. He's like, I don't need to drive. He just walks to my house. That's how lazy you've gotten.
Bro, it's
bad. I know, lazy, man.
Now you're rich.
That too.
Yeah,
you got money.
No, but you know when you order over a certain amount,
you're rich. No, because they still add money on it.
It's service charge.
Exactly. So,
yeah,
so,
they do.
So
yeah.
You could walk.
Yeah.
You've just, it's convenience though.
Yeah, it's convenience. Yeah, I'd rather pay £5.
But it's a disguise for lazy.
Yeah.
It's lazy.
Yeah. It's getting worse too.
It's a lot worse.
It's getting worse, bro.
Do you think people have that approach towards like work, music, acting?
Yeah, I think people have that approach to life, bro. Mm. Like everything is, what can I do to not do it? How can I get over this? How can I, what's the easy way? I think that's where we are at now. Like, so for me, like even just simple as a musician, I was like, what can I do that I did in the beginning to make this new record that I have go crazy?
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just hit my label up and yo, send me every DJ in from here to France to this to that. Give me a list of 1,000. I'm gonna knock it out and knock out DJ drops, yo. But today, so I'll do it, and the DJ will be like, yo, you know the last time an artist did this, and like you don't have to do this, but the fact that you did this, bro, I'm playing it every day.
Oh yeah, DJ. You get what I'm saying?
What up, yo? It's your borrow to me, DJ. Yeah. I'm rocking with DJ. They were like, artists don't do that. So that's why I'm like, really? They were like, bro, the last time somebody did that was when Ace Hood did their song in 2006. So that type of, you know, so that's why I like, what can I do? My mindset is, what can I do to be different? What can I do to just work hard? What can I do to control my narrative?
Mm.
A lot of people are just like, man, if I do it, cool. I'm in London, man. Fuck it. I'm chilling with it, homie. Like, and I'm like, nah, like, I'm not trying to sleep. What I got to do, you know? And so that's what separates, you know, people.
That's mad though, because remember when I used to do On Topic Talk Show? I used to get the guests to do the intro.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about doing that for 3 shots.
Wasn't?
Just, you know, what's happening, people? I'm blah, blah, blah. This is 3 shots, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Keelan, Marvin, Abby, Taylor, blah, whatever. And just inserting that in the middle. Or just in the, you know, like if a subject changes.
Because we've done with intros. That's
what I'm saying. But we used to do intro with, so we used to do members of the public.
Okay.
So I'd say to people, if you want to be on 3 shots, just send in a voice note,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Mm-hmm. So people used to send me voice notes and I used to put that. And I think I went to America. We went to New York.
You got a couple of Americas.
And I got a couple of Americas. And then that's the intro at the moment.
Yeah.
That. But it's like, now you're saying it, it's like, oh, it's
you should always stay on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And DJs play it, you know?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Because they feel like they're part of it.
Yeah.
They feel like it's their record. You know?
And it's special as well because you've done something that it's not generic.
Exactly. It's like I make it personal. So for my new song, Make You Say, I was like, yo, like, I want to talk to you in the drop like we know each other. You know, it's not like, what's up, y'all? I'm rocking with you. It's like, yo, hey, blah, 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 blah. Remember when you said, man, play it. Like, it's a vibe. And they feel comfortable. Like, I want to break this record because I know Rotimi.
Yeah.
You know, and this is simple things that artists and people in just general don't go above and beyond. Yo, I remember, man, like, even just to check up on somebody. Like, we don't do that. We're so focused on what we got to do that they'd be like, yo, you good? Everything okay? Like, yeah, what's wrong? Our first reaction is everything good? Why? What happened? Instead of just embracing, like, yo, like, I'm not just checking. I don't want nothing. Just checking on you, bro.
He's right, you know.
It's very rare, bro.
Don't post for 24 hours.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Don't message you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
That message,
you're right. It's been 24 hours. Like.
Exactly. I didn't see what you were doing for 24 hours. That's basically what they're saying. I didn't see what you were doing. Like, yo, where'd you go? What happened?
I'm just chilling, man.
But it's weird, though. I had a conversation with someone yesterday, funny enough. And then they said to me, you haven't asked how I am. Because we're just talking on the phone, like, just a joke. Oh, you haven't asked how I am, cracking joke. And I'm like, yeah, but the funny thing is that people say it, but do they really mean it?
They really mean
because
it.
Because if I say to you, Taze, how are you doing? And everything correct? You're like, nah, bro, I'm not all right. Am I ready for this conversation? Because people say,
yeah,
you're right. But the moment someone says, no, I'm not, you know, whoa, oh, buddy, you know what I'm about to do? Like, give me 5 minutes here. I'll be that nigga, fuck him. Do you know what I'm saying? People are not ready for that. Because remember, like, we're not ready to deal with certain things because you now have to listen and give either good advice or But how bad that is, bro.
But,
no, what I'm saying, but are you ready for it? Because remember, for example, like, think about it.
Yeah.
There's two friends who said to you,
yeah,
should I do this?
Yeah.
One said, nah.
Yeah.
The other said, go do it.
Yeah.
Two sets of advice.
Yeah.
One was bad, one was good.
Yeah.
And none of them have had training.
Did you call him back?
Say one time.
Did you call him back when you got the
Oh yeah.
You told me not to do this, you know.
Yeah, bro. I gave him some money too, bro. Yeah, I gave him some bread. Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
I said, for you telling me no.
Like, fuck you, bro. Don't ever come on my podcast. Hey, remember that guy that was
That's growth.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will be like, they might hold a grudge or whatever. You're like, you know what? But remember, there's no malice in it. I think he just looked at it from his point of view, like, nah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, it was more like, bro, you have 5,000. It makes no sense. Like, you're going out on a whim, and it's his perspective. He wouldn't, like you said, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't take that risk. One's like, bro, you tripping if you don't go.
Yeah, you have to, bro.
Yeah.
When it comes to Hollywood or it comes to those kind of things, you have to. You can't. It's better for you to go somewhere and it don't work.
Yeah.
Than you not go and always think what if, because you would have seen power on TV.
I would have been sick.
Seen
bro.
It blown up and been like, oh my god.
So that nigga was supposed to be me.
Yeah, bro. I can only imagine, bro.
You played Dre very well. When I asked where did you grow up? The reason I asked is because where did you get like
all the Dre? Yeah.
Yeah, the knowledge to play Dre well.
I grew up around a lot of Dre's, bro.
See, I told you.
Yeah, I grew up around.
I said this before you came in.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Brent.
No, you didn't say that. Thank you very much.
But I said it though.
Nigga, you didn't say that.
Wait, hold on. One of the main questions I wanted to ask him was where he got the knowledge to play Dre.
That's it.
No, your response was, what? Are you trying to say he grew up around snakes?
Yeah.
No.
Someone said that.
No, I tried to say, you're trying to say he's a snake.
Because of the character you played.
Exactly. And so I wasn't the same thing. As there was a little joke, you say, wait, try to say man's a snake.
Anyway.
Exactly. You don't ask
that question. She knows.
No, Brent was here. You didn't get to that point. Don't lie, bro.
I'm talking to...
What's going on here?
So you grew up around a lot of Dre's,
yeah?
Okay.
So like, I'd have a friend, he'd walk like this. I had a friend that would like, if you look at him, he stares at you, you know you're in trouble. I had a friend that was like, if he looks at you, you know he's lying. So like, I took different aspects of what I grew up with, and then I watched a lot of Robert De Niro.
Okay.
In Casino.
Okay.
And my first season, I didn't have that many lines. So I was like, how can I make an impact that they'll bring me back? And I did a lot of things with my eyes. So you're like, oh, you can't trust him. Oh, he's up to something. What is he going to say? And then he'll be like, nah, I'm good. He's not really good. Oh, shit. What's going on? You know what I mean? So like, I studied how, because I didn't take training. Yeah, I had to learn on the go. Job, you know? And so I had great mentors though, like with Kelsey Grammer and then Amari Hardwick, who played Ghost. And he took me on his wing. He was like, look, I know you don't have any training, but come watch a movie with me. So we went to go watch this Johnny Depp movie where I think he was like an informant.
Okay.
He was an FBI informant. Like he was a snake or something like that. And he was like, watch his body movement. Watch how he does this. Watch how he lies. Look, did you see the da-da-da? He probably looked at camera left and did it. So I'm...
You know, now you're saying that, yeah.
Pissing people off in the cinema, boy.
Yeah, it's loud as fuck. It's horrible.
You know, now you're saying that, yeah.
Yeah.
Like on how you've translated that on screen is very well. Like every time I watch Power, I'm like I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to be the biggest drug dealer in New York.
Yeah.
But the way you were going about it was very shady. But you got it. You translated it very well.
Yeah.
No, that's sick, man.
But I had to create that. You know, like for example, right? My character was supposed to die in season 3. He wasn't like. It was written that Dre is going to be on season 2 and he gets thrown into a garbage can by a ghost in season 3. But because of the nuances that I had, because of like the scenes I would steal, it was like, oh, we got to write something different. Yeah, we got to create.
People, it's like, not anti-hero, but people love, they hate you, but they love you at the same time. It's like, you need this character.
You need this character.
For the balance.
But you never ever felt ready.
What do you mean?
Like, I never ever had the... Well, whilst I was watching the show, I never thought like, you're going to be the boss at some point. I don't know what it...
Well, he was.
It was temporary though.
Temporary.
But that's what it felt like. It felt like once you got there, it's you like, weren't even ready.
I was a boss, bro. I was a boss at one point. I don't know.
I'm sitting on my right, talking that shit and shit, looking at me and all that, man. Like...
So I'm trying to think of the character that he was beefing. Can't remember his name though. It was like the Latino Don. Yeah, I can imagine.
I know the real name. Fuck, I forgot the character. I set him up.
Damn. He was on to you. You know, you know a man's, you can say, like, for example, I might hire someone and you're like, he's, I don't know, man. I'm like, boy, if you look at his rap sheet, he deserves it.
But let me tell you something, right? So after season 3 and everything was like fire, like it was killing, everything was moving dope. The creator, Courtney, came to me. She was like, so look, do you want to be, because at one point, remember, Dre was Ghost's protege.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so everybody was like, yo, he's grooming him to be
the next one.
Yeah, Ghost Point 2.0. And she called me in the office. She was like, look, do you want to be Ghost 2.0 where, yeah, Dre has a daughter and then he's learning and everybody's kumbaya and you become Ghost 2.0? Or we're about to kill the Lobos character. There is no villain. Do you want to be the villain? I said, and it was like, one, it was like, damn, you really asking me to choose the direction of a legendary show?
Yeah.
I was like, nah, there's already a Ghost. There's already a Mari. Let me be the guy, yo. Because there's too many. There's only one Dre. Mm. It can't be Ghost 2.0, you know? And so that's why they ended up making Tariq Ghost 2.0.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, it was like, dad, do you want to do this? And I said, absolutely. I'll definitely be the villain. And I didn't know what it would be, but yeah, I think it was the best decision for me.
There's a few things that have upset me in life. Killing Ghost is up there still.
Yeah.
When they killed Ghost, I said, nah, I'm not watching this ever again.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, Ghost is Ghost, bro. Like, you know that man.
Wait, hold on.
I
can't let you finish that sentence. What did he say before we started recording?
Well, I don't watch it. I don't watch it.
I don't watch Power.
But I've seen episodes. I don't watch
but
it.
But I'm upset they killed Ghost.
Yeah, I am.
What?
I am.
Nah.
I am.
Wait.
What are we talking about?
Yo, so this nigga was talking about. He said, I forgot what he said. He said some shit about.
Brother, you know me, yeah? When it comes to programs, I never watch a series.
Okay.
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
But for social media, or if I'm in someone's house and they're watching it,
you hear what I'm saying?
When I'm going to certain people's houses or whatever, no names, I'll watch episodes that they're watching. So I might watch 3 on one day.
Mm.
I haven't watched one for ages. I'll see a clip here, clip there, then I'll watch another one. So I'm seeing stuff. But then when I saw Ghost die, I said, I'm not even going back. Because.
So what did you finish with Tariq or something? Just double checking. Well, Sean, I don't know. Like, who did you think was sitting right here?
Brother, you thought Neutrino was Cage.
No, don't do that.
Neutrino came on here and he said he thought he was the nigga who was singing on 21 Seconds. How dare you?
That's an easy mistake to make.
No, it's not.
Man said I was hurt they killed Ghost.
Yeah. I was hurt though. But that's what I'm saying. The thing about Power is even if you didn't watch it, you knew all the characters.
Yeah, you invested.
That's how big the show
you
was.
You invested, yeah.
And the thing about 50, 50 will post something that's got nothing to do with Power and then just say, get the strap.
Something
cognac.
Yeah.
And he's Power. So then out of the blue, you've kind of like, you've read the caption and you've heard of something that you didn't know before because 50 has done it.
Yeah.
So I'm saying in terms of Power, you would see different characters, and Ghost was just the guy.
He was very clear.
I mean, even the way he used to do his moves.
He used to wear his suits
and the night techs. When he changed to the tech,
when he was ready to do his black hat on. I like Tommy as well.
Yeah, he's good. Again, man, like the one thing I say about the show is that everybody was super competitive. So like everybody. No one was a star before Power. Yeah. Like, no, Amari, he was the guy that you'd be like, I've seen him before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Neytiri is like, oh, wasn't she in 3LW?
Yeah. It's true.
No one. But they were all working for 20 years or so. So it was like, we got to build this. And love to Amari because he made it where it's a team. I'm the quarterback. I need to trust that I can throw the ball to my wide receiver. I need to trust that I can hand it off to my running back. It became like a unit. So when me and him would have scenes, I'm going into it like we're about to battle. Because it's like, you're not gonna show me up, bro. Like, you're a monster at what you do, but I'm him, you know. Yeah. And that mentality, and that's what pushed the show. So Joe Shakur, who played Tommy, same way. Like, sweet guy, but when it came down to it, it's like, all right, bro, bring it today. And it's like, yeah, I'm here with you. What's up? It's that energy.
Yeah.
And that's what made us become that show. That's why a lot of shows don't have that, because ego would be involved. And yeah. I'm the star and you're this. We became, like, we made these characters. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a special type of love.
Very well on screen. Yeah.
So you know, you said in terms of Robert De Niro, like, you watched Robert De Niro. What other actors did you watch? Because for me, Robert De Niro's a great, Al Pacino's a great. Leonardo DiCaprio is another great, but like, who do you reference in terms of, like, who would you look at when you were trying to learn? Who else were you looking at? Sorry.
I was looking at Edward Norton. Fight Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Primal Fear. Joe Pesci. You know. Yeah.
He does a madman very well, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unhinged psychopath. Would just laugh at you 1 minute and stab you in a car park.
Exactly. In terms of Dre, those are the ones I watched. And then, you know, of course, the Denzels, Jamie. Who else? Meryl Streep is incredible. Like, Meryl Streep, whatever, with her eyes, it's like, it tells
Meryl
so much.
Meryl Streep, that's the one in Fatal Attraction.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know about it. You don't know about it before. I've been seeing you, man. This nigga didn't even know about Meryl Streep.
Oh, shit. He said, I know exactly what you're talking about.
No, you don't, bro.
My follow-up question was going to be, like, who would you say people should look out for as in, like, future actors in
America?
So I know you're featured in the new House Party.
Yeah.
Our friend is actually the lead, Tosin.
Yeah, Tosin's my guy, bro.
Tosin's
my fam,
big things, bro.
Bro, we did a movie called Burning Sands together. That's how I met him. And if you haven't watched it, incredible. But... real dude, man. That's like my family. Like, he's one. Damn, you know what's crazy? Like, the UK actors are...
there's a lot of us in here.
Beastie, bro. And, like, y'all do American accents better than us. Yeah. Fuck, it's weird, yo. But John Boyega, for sure. That's another one of my brothers, you know. But Tosin, me. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So you said you got a single coming out. Let everyone know the name, where they can get it.
So the new record that's out right now is called Make You Say. It's available everywhere. You know, for me, I worked with Akon on it. Me, Akon wrote this. And it's special, man. It just feels good. I wanted to take the I'm a Piano vibe and put my R&B vibe, my voice on it. And I wanted to create something that is different, but is refreshing. It feels like Afro EDM, but pop, but R&B and everything just mixed in one, and it's a feel good record, man. Feel good record. I'm proud of this one.
Is that what you tend to do in terms of, like, a lot of your records tend to be very much like happy music?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to recreate all the time, or?
Yeah, like, I just want to make music that, if you look, right, the records that make you feel good are the ones that last forever.
Yeah.
It's timeless, you know? So, like, In My Bed will never go away. Love Rhythm will never go away. Whenever you hear "Baby, Baby," it'll never go away, because sonically that's just a happy sound.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, like, records that just feel open, good, they stand the test of time, and that's what I wanted to do, man. That's why I don't drop as much as I just make moments when I do it, and I love that.
Do you feel like you're gonna one day say, do you know what? I'm just gonna stop the acting. And just concentrate on the music, or are you at a point now where you're like, I love both, I'm just gonna do both?
I'm at that point where I love both, I'm gonna do both. And because I've seen it happen, like, again, Mo, like, and Amari put it best, like, we had just finished one of the seasons, and he was like, yo, give it up for Rotimi, because he's on the number one show and has the number one R&B album in the country right now. And I didn't think of it like that, but it's like, oh shit, like, the goal is now be on the number one movie and have the number one single, you know, and it becomes that. So I've seen it. I felt it. And I know it can happen, you know, so I wouldn't shortchange, you know. And it doesn't take long to shoot a movie. It takes 3 weeks to shoot a movie, you know, 4 weeks. If you're on the Batmans and Marvels, it'll take 6 months, whatever. Yeah. But, like, movies are a month of your time, and TV shows take time. But if you do it right, and I've seen the outline, yeah, you can do both. If you're dope, if you're actually dope, you can do both.
That's mad.
Yeah.
And also, lastly, that photographic memory thing.
Yeah.
So what, you just look at a script and go,
yeah.
Is it a certain amount of time you need to look at it, or, and it's just, that's in your mind?
So basically it'll be like, I look at the script, I see what I'm supposed to say, and it'll take, to get it like a page, to get it paged and memorize it, maybe a minute.
What?
Yeah.
Do you know what the maddest thing is? I thought I was going to say about
2 days.
45 minutes.
No, a minute, 2 minutes.
No,
2 minutes. 2 minutes to comfortably.
To get the
But I can't retain it after I do it. Like, I, if I do it, I'm like, all right. So that's why, for example, when I have an audition, I'll get it. I don't even try to open it sometimes, because if I start looking at it, I'm like, fuck, I got to do it. I got to do it. So I wait when I'm like, all right, let me just study this in the morning real quick. All right, let's shoot this. So I'll get it. Like, ooh, minutes, 2 minutes. 3 minutes. All right, I got it. Let's do it. Do-do-do. It's out. Once I deliver it, it's out.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. But,
oh, I thought you meant retain it.
So your short-term memory is photographic. It's like, bang.
Boom. It's like this.
I swear, you have a wizard in the room, boy.
Yeah, but no, like,
that's still a wizard, bro.
But I know, but to retain it.
No, but look.
You can't.
But if I have to actually learn it. An hour to learn it and feel comfortable and know my movements and this and this and this. Like an hour to consistently do it. Yeah, an hour.
So that minute that you're doing it in,
yeah,
is it just you purely learning the lines, or you in your head adding the movements to the lines?
Yes.
Jeez, that's a lot, bro.
Yeah.
To
so
get
it's
the
like,
gist of what's going on.
But I'll do it and I'm like, oh, that didn't feel right. So I'll do it again. That didn't feel right. I'll do it again. Okay, I like that. So I'm working it out while I'm recording whatever. I'm working out, you know, because when it comes out, or how the person delivers it back will change the reaction. So then I got it. Yeah. So it's, but then when they're like, all right, we good? And then I'm off. Yeah.
I think actually, I want to see, like when you went to, was it New York or LA?
Yeah.
When you were on set with the Google ad.
Yeah.
What was it like seeing cut, do it again, cut? Because that must get boring.
Yeah.
For someone viewing it.
No, not really, you know, because for me, it was just an experience. So our guy Daps, he's like a director. So he directed the Google advert. I don't know if you've seen the new one with Jason Tatum, Giannis.
Joel Embiid.
So I was in New York, but we couldn't film because people couldn't know about the advert yet. So we just went on I think it was in Manhattan. So we went there and we just sat down in that the director's chair and was watching the way they were moving stuff around the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the cameras were worth like
$250,000.
Big cameras.
Some of the angles in that advert is mad.
But then you see the way they do certain clips. The funny thing is they don't actually record it that many times, because they've literally one guy's got like an iPad so you can see what's going on in the camera.
Mm-hmm.
There's another like camera that's like, you can, it's like a, there's like a thing above it and you can kind of look.
Yeah, into it.
So it's just kind of like the moment they say action, they film it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's weird. When they're doing it with actors, it's very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk up to you and say, listen, that was great, but you can just do it like this.
Yeah.
You will nail it.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a member of the public that you're putting in that, you might have to tell them a few more times because they're not used to it.
Mm. Yeah.
So I saw that difference.
Yeah.
Between the acting quality of actual actors.
Yeah.
And members of the public that were just filling in.
Yeah.
You could see the difference. But generally speaking, it was a smooth process because everyone knew what it was they wanted to do. So people knew.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's dope, man. It's a cool experience. It's one of those things where, yeah, you're doing the same thing, but again, like, for example, I'll use Power. Like, you couldn't take a take off. You couldn't, like, we'll do action, cut, action, cut. So, if you're doing something on another show, you'd be like, oh, I'm a little tired. I'll deliver the lines, whatever. But with Power, it was so competitive that every time we did it, we had to bring it or be better than the last time. Like, oh, you doing that? All right, what's up, Linda? It's like, Oh, that was a cool move. So let me go here with how you respond. And it's like, it's human interaction. You get what I'm saying? But it's just who can master themselves, basically.
I guess it helps when everyone's a team.
Yeah, like it said. Helps. It helps. It's a comfort level, and you know you're working together. You know what I mean? But like other times, it'll be like, for example, right? If I'm filming you, and you're on camera, and sometimes I would have to read off camera to give you the energy. So if it's on you, the camera can take your energy, right?
Yeah.
So other shows, after it was on me and you're reading for me and you giving me energy the same way it was when we're both on camera, that person on other shows now is like, all right, so yes, we did this, and it's like, bro, it's no love there. Yeah. So you got to now fight through the, you're hearing it dry, but you got to fight through the bullshit. And so like that happens a lot. Like people aren't really like a team like how Power was, yeah. You know what I mean? So
but I think Power, yeah. Because it was part of the culture, I feel like that was a difference. It's kind of like, because, you know, like you might do a film and I'm not saying people are not going to watch it, but you put it out and you're hoping that it is received well. Whereas right. Power was like, it was kind of in the culture.
Yeah.
So if you have a bad performance on Power, it's like you feel like all your friends are going to see it.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to see it. Absolutely. So you can't not show out. Yeah. It's like college football.
Yeah.
Like everyone's watching you, bro. Yeah. Even though I'm not getting paid by the school,
yeah.
I have to show up because NFL might be going to take me.
Yes.
And everyone's watching. So it seems like Power had that kind of dynamic that, like,
it was,
you know what I'm saying?
It was pressure, bro. It was because you know you're walking onto something that, this is legendary. Everything I do right now is going to be remembered. And that mindset, it's a different experience, man. And I've been able to carry that feeling with music, with this, and everything I do. So, it was great.
I know this is on the spot, but just before we wrap up, is there a quote that you want to leave us with? It's kind of helped you with your journey.
Help me with my journey.
Don't die for Nyash.
What's
going on? What? No? That's a good one though. Take that one back to America.
I got you. I'd say trust your intuition. Yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Bet
on yourself.
That's my favorite quote.
Yeah. Trust your intuition. Yo, these niggas be lying. Bro.
That's
LeBron done, isn't it? There's a
whole
thing
about
LeBron.
That's what someone said to the court, and LeBron's like, you have a favorite quote.
You are now listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with Marv Abbey, Mr. Exposed, and Taser Black.